Welcome to the IRS Problems Podcast with Mike Evans and Certified Tax Resolution Specialist Todd Whalen. Mike and Todd will discuss listeners' questions and common problems you might face dealing with the IRS.
Well, hello again, everyone, and welcome into another installment of the IRS Problems Podcast, where we help you with your IRS problems. I don't. I'm not an expert. I'm just a pretty face. Gained a chance to talk here with Todd Whalen, who you've heard for years on the fan with Advanced Tax Solutions. He is a dealing with the IRS expert, and that's what this IRS Problems Podcast is all about, giving people a chance to deal with their problems. And I think what makes beyond just having a very friendly face that I think people feel like they can relate to and trust, you know, for people who are going through IRS issues, Todd, you were once one of them. You know of what you speak because you lived it.
Yeah, I learned the hard way. Actually, little did I know, it's not like I went through this and thought, oh, I'm going to help people the rest of my life. That it was years, but it did help to understand kind of what people feel. And, you know, I understand for a variety of reasons. One, I've been through it, but two, for the last two decades, I've met people all the time that are just getting beaten by the IRS. And so I understand from their feelings as well as mine. But yeah, a long time ago, eons ago, when I first started the business, my own business, I had left an international accounting firm and struck off on my own, and things were going pretty good. But lo and behold, I ended up going through a divorce, and that just turned my world upside down. I mean, literally, life went from good to bad really fast. A divorce is really tough, and you know, it's brutal. And then it causes, you know, I see people in my office all the time that their problem started with a divorce. This is real common. This is a real rabbit trail, but this is really common. A lot of times it's the guy, he moves out, all his records goes to his ex-wife, and they hate each other, so she throws him in the trash, and he never gets his, you know, 1099s, W-2s, doesn't know what to do, and so he doesn't file. And then 1 year goes by, he doesn't file. The second year, he's like, well, I didn't file last year. Next thing you know, 5 years goes by. That is common. In my case, I had started the business. Things were tight. You know, when you start a business, it's just really tough. And you're, you know, scrambling to pay bills regardless. Then I go through divorce. I'm having to pay her bills. I'm trying to pay mine. I'm trying to keep my business afloat. Even though emotionally I'm kind of tormented, it's really hard to focus when you're getting divorced and kind of losing everything. And then lo and behold, in the middle of that mess, here comes the IRS, and you know, you haven't paid them. Mm-hmm. And so that just really got ugly. And then you start throwing in, you know, you have to use a different filing status, which is married filing separately, which is generally the worst filing status. And so you owe even more. Next thing you know, it was just brutal. It just took everything. I even ended up, you know, living out of my truck and showering at the health club, and it just was that bad. So anyway, I had my experience and got through it, and took about 2 years of misery and got through both the divorce and the IRS problem. And so I get it. IRS problems affect so much, and then there also generally can be a fallout for something else. Like, let's say your business is failing. That's tough. That's really, really tough. And of course, when your business is failing, the last thing you pay is your taxes. So, you know, I just know that it's usually multiple factors that leads a person into a tax problem, and it's just tough.
You know, it's not like, because as you start to explain it, it's not like people are just like, you know what, I'm just out to ignore the IRS and I'm going to blow off my responsibility. The way you talk about how these changes in your life can affect you, it gets to the point probably that you start thinking about the IRS and you're like, well, you know, I got this going on. I got that going on. And you start to prioritize the things in your life that are really causing you a lot of pain and consternation. And sometimes even the IRS can start to lag behind some of these other things. And then there's also, I guess, the idea that, well, if the IRS comes calling, oh, that's the IRS. And that sounds complex. And I don't want to deal with that right now. I can't deal with that. I got too much going on in my life. And before you know it, it snowballs.
Yeah. 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 And it's interestingly, you know, there's a statistic, it's a little bit old now, but I'm sure it's fairly similar. But the American Society of Tax Problem Solvers, this was American Society of IRS Problem Solvers. They put out information, and they said that statistically, 1 out of 7 people in their lifetime are going to have a significant brush with IRS. 1 out of 7 people. I was one, so that gets you off the hook. And so
I'm knocking on wood right now.
You know, I did the math. I don't have it in front of me, but that kind of boiled down to like 50 million people in the United States, 50 million people. And that explains why I am so busy. Yeah. You know, it's just Uncle Sam's been busy but you know, that's staggering. That's just staggering. But it's true.
Let's talk about some of the different solutions that people can use to settle their IRS debts. And you know, during the course of these chats that we have, we'll have a chance to talk about all of them. But maybe one in particular we could talk about is uncollectible status. What exactly is that?
You know, that's a good one because not many people have even heard of it. You never hear that advertised on the radio. You know, you have these 800 numbers, settle for pennies on the dollar. Well, that can happen, but there's a lot of other solutions as well. And uncollectible is a great tool to have in your kit. And to really understand, okay, so in a nutshell, uncollectible status is like a payment plan of zero. You have to prove that. You have to go through financial information, and it's very specific, and you're showing your income and proving it, and you're showing your types of expenses and proving it, and then you're just proving at the end of the month you have no money to pay them, and the only way to get that is through financials. You can't just talk them through it. You have to have the financial information, and the pros and cons to this you have to understand why you do it. Is the bad side of it is being a payment plan of zero, so to speak. It's not called a payment plan of zero, but that's what it in essence you're doing, is you're proving there's no ability to pay them. The interest and the penalties still continue. And so you're like, well, why would I do that? Well, there's a thing, this is a beautiful thing, and we should probably talk about this more sometime. But the statute of limitations on collections is 10 years. So nobody knows that. So the IRS, when you file a return, once they get it and send you a bill, they have 10 years from that time to collect it. And if they don't collect it, it goes to zero. It goes away completely. And so let's say you're 9 years in, it's a really old tax return. Well, what's a better solution, an offer in compromise or uncollectible? An offer, you have to pay them something. If you can get uncollectible and let it ride, then on the last day of the 10th year, it just goes away. You don't have to file anything. You don't have to do anything. It just goes away. Now, there's a few things that can extend that statute, the 10-year statute. They're called tolling events, like, you know, if you leave the country for more than 6 months, if you file bankruptcy, and there's a few others that I will talk about someday. But so things can push that statute out. But if you get an uncollectible, it may be that every year or two they ask you again for more financials. So it's not a good 10-year solution unless you're on a fixed income, you're going into the hospital and you're going to stay there a while, things like that, you know. But if it's an old tax, it's going to go away in the next year or two. Uncollectible is a great solution.
When you talk about statutes of limitations And I'm interested in that. Is that how much can you use statute of limitations as a tool to mitigate what you're paying or how much you're going to pay at all? How much do you use that as you go into a person's case?
Oh, you know, the statute of limitation affects an offer and compromise. It affects, payment plans. Like, it's a double-edged sword on a payment plan. If there's not enough time to pay it in a payment plan, and then it'll go, then you have to jump through more hoops. You know what I mean? Like, let's say it would be a different strategy if this was a tax from 2020 than a tax from 2015. Right. You know what I mean? Because now you have to figure out these. But anytime it's an old tax, so the statute of limitations affects just about any solution, but anytime it's an old tax, it's just best to look at the statute of limitations, because I would rather do uncollectible. It's easier than an offer and compromise. It's quicker than an offer and compromise, and you don't have to pay 20% down as with an offer and compromise. And if once the time expires, then you're just done. And it's a lot cheaper than an offer and compromise. So anytime that the tax is pretty old, I'm going to look really seriously at that, because, again, my goal is to help the client. Mm-hmm. And even though an offer is a bigger, better project, I'd much rather get them in an uncollectible and have them pay nothing to the IRS at the end of the day. That to me is a perfect solution, you know. And that's kind of what SEPs, I don't want to slam any businesses, but I will say that if you go to a local or a professional, that this is what they do, they have a different tool set than like a giant firm that's only trying to sell you an offer and compromise. You know what I mean? That's, mm-hmm. you know, and so be wary of that. If it's an old tax, you probably want to talk to somebody who really understands it.
All right. We've arrived at the part of the podcast where we answer some of the listener questions that have been sent in to denverfan.com/tax. And this one is regarding, Todd, the statute of limitations that we were just talking about. Comes in from Tom, who says, Todd, right now I am in uncollectible status. I'm going to be leaving the country for upwards of a year. I'm not sure how long, but it could be upwards of a year. How does that, if at all, change my uncollectible status with the IRS?
Well, that's a great question. It's a good question. You've obviously had a little bit of experience to understand the ramifications, but you know, I talked about the uncollectible status, and I talked about that when the statute of limitations coming up, it's a great solution. And if you leave the country, I talked briefly about tolling events. One would be bankruptcy, why they can't collect from you. They add that to the 10 years. And they call it a tolling event. If you leave the country for more than 6 months, they can add that to the statute of limitations. And so that would be the you know, things you have to watch for. One, if you owe a balance to the IRS and you're not in some kind of a solution, the IRS can actually revoke your passport. So that's one issue you'd want to make sure that you're all okay on, that your passport hasn't been revoked. And then the other thing is when you come back, you would have to be concerned with, did the IRS add that time to the statute of limitations? And then three, depending on what you're doing there, if you're making income, that might take you out of uncollectible status. A lot of people go and work overseas to make more money. And if that's the case, when you come back and file a tax return showing a great deal of money, the IRS is going to kick that out and come after you. And if they can kick you out of uncollectible status based on higher income. And if the statute hasn't expired, then it could be expired because you left the country, and it could, and if you got kicked out because of a higher income, you got a pickle. So, you know, you have to factor those kinds of things into what you're doing. It's funny how a tax problem can really affect just about every aspect of your life.
So is it something that you want to address with the IRS before you leave, or when you get back?
You know, you don't necessarily have to contact the IRS. I wouldn't. I would not call the IRS and tell them I'm leaving the country. But I would take a really hard look. Like, what I don't know is when this tax is going to expire. Right. If it's going to expire, and nor how much, right? If it's, you know, only a couple $1,000s, well, you of tax liability, well, it's not such an urgent matter if you're going to go and make a lot of money, pay it off. Mm-hmm. But if it's a really big tax liability and it's going to expire soon, it would be really crazy to extend the statute by going out of the country to make money when now all that money is going to go. I mean, I shouldn't say it's crazy. I'm just like, you'd really want to consider what's going on. I mean, really consider what's best for you. In that case, I might want to talk with a professional about what's happening. Another thing, you really have to, you know, before you, I mean, you have to make sure that your passport hasn't been revoked. And so you can, you know, that's kind of delicate. I would probably do that. You know, as a professional, I do that through some kind of Freedom of Information Act request rather than calling the IRS. You know, hey, IRS, I'm planning on leaving the country. I know you can revoke my passport. Have you done that yet? Well, not a good idea. And they were like, no, but thanks for the idea.
Yeah. I hear you. So what you're, and by the way, this is what you're talking about is that sometimes fine line that people walk between, you know, do I need professional help or is it something I can do myself, perhaps ably assisted by you? And let people know that certainly they can reach out to you or at DIYRIRSHelp.com. Again, DIYRIRSHelp.com. People can perhaps take care of their own issues.
Yeah, this would be one that you wouldn't want to use. It's DIYIRSHelp.com. That's really if you have payment plans and offers and compromises, you wouldn't want to, that wouldn't answer this question at all.
Right.
And you're always, you know, another reason you want to, like some people, they want a payment plan, right? Simple, and we can do that under some of the streamlines. And so even people who you can use the DIY IRS help, but some people would prefer a professional call. And the reason is if you call, the IRS is going to ask you, where do you work? Where do you bank? And we can say, we don't know, because I'm never going to lie to the IRS, but I'm not going to ask you before I call. You know what I mean? I'm not going to know that. But you can't do that. You know, when you call, you have to tell them. You never want to lie to the IRS. Never. It's just, you know, you want to keep this as a collection problem and no further. And so sometimes like this, I think what you'd really want on the uncollectible question is you might be able to figure it out just by what I said. Like, oh, it's going to expire in 3 months. Let's wait 3 months. Or maybe the statute's, you know, you're uncollectible and the statute's 8 years away and you can go out of the country and make a ton of money and pay it off and the liability isn't that big. Well, I mean, that's easy. That's your decision. That's a, you know, you don't need me to tell you. I think you can see the solution. But if it's questionable, then you probably would want to talk with a professional just because we know the rules and we might be able to shed light. But in your case, it almost is facts and circumstances. You know, if the statute's going to expire soon, you know, if you go less than 6 months, you don't have an issue.
Right.
If you go more than 6 months, you have an issue. And you just want to factor that into your decision.
All right. So again, that website, if you want to try to examine your issues on your own, take care of your issues on your own, it's DIYIRSHelp.com. And Todd will be there to, you know, walk you through every step to see if it is something you can handle on your own. If not, then there is the option of working with you directly. And or maybe this podcast itself was able enough to be able to help you with whatever you're dealing with. We hope that was the case.
Yeah.
He's Todd Whalen. I'm Mike Evans. We'll see you again next time on the IRS Problems Podcast.
Thanks for tuning in to the IRS Problems Podcast. If you have a question you'd like answered, please post your question at denverfan.com/tax.